Anyone have any objection with me starting the meeting at 19:07 hours, 7:07 p.m.?
Nope.
All right, I bring this meeting to order at 7:07 p.m. First order on the agenda. Paul, did you get a chance to look at the minutes that I sent around?
Yes, I did.
Do you have any issues with those? Any changes?
No, I don't.
I don't either. I make a motion that we approve those minutes. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Second's been heard. I'll poll the board. Paul, how do you vote?
I approve.
I vote yes as well. The motion carries. The minutes are approved. All right. Next on the list, the 2022 audit has been completed, right, Joe?
That's correct.
Okay. I believe it's on bphoa.info right now under 2022. You can click on there and it's, I think it says audit, and you can actually see the 2022 audit. We'll be doing the same thing for the next, for 2023. It's required by our bylaws.
And we passed.
And we passed. That's good. Masonry on wall update. I'll let Joe start and I'll finish it. Joe?
So Boris is on call. It's a big job, as we discussed before. And I think he had some ideas maybe to just do what has to be done, as opposed to doing everything. And so one of the board members will meet with him at the board's convenience. I think Keith probably will be the person. And then whatever the board decides, just tell Boris and he'll make it happen.
And this is where I end it. I actually haven't had a chance to talk to Boris yet. I've been dealing with all the other stuff, plus the fallout from my surgery. Not been a lot of that, but a little bit. Just too many things to do, too little time. So that's on my list to do probably after NNO, which is next Tuesday. So let's see. Next on the list, update on possible two-pole solution for mailbox lighting for the mailbox cluster on Bradford Park Drive near Andres Way. Joe, that was mentioned last meeting. Do you have any update on that?
I do. I talked to Jorge. He said it doesn't work. He's tried it before, and he explained some of the problems, but it's just my word, not his. It's a janky solution. We're just not going to be able to run solar at that location because of the trees, and we're not going to want to trim back or cut down a living tree to make mm-hmm. that happen. So we don't have a solution for the remaining mailbox cluster.
I gave that some thought afterwards, because really to do that, he'd have to pour another pad for the other pole. Then they'd have to dig underground to bury the wire to go from the pole to the light. It sounds like a ridiculously expensive enterprise for a single light.
It just doesn't work in his world. So we don't have a solution for the final mailbox cluster.
Okay. Maybe we can figure something out at a later date. I don't know if there's anything else we can do. I mean, short of cutting those trees down, I don't see it going in.
Yeah, no one wants that.
No, that was made obviously clear last meeting.
Right. I believe I objected.
I believe you did. Yes, sir. I was the one that brought up, let's just cut those two trees down. You're like, no, I don't want to cut those down. I'm like, oh, no, crap.
Those are beautiful trees.
So but there's a ton of trees over there. I think you're right. I think it would be on 2600 Andres Way's property. So we'd have to get permission from them in the beginning anyway. So
I remember we talked a long time ago. I didn't like this idea back then. I don't like it now, but erect some sort of light that attaches directly on the mailbox. I've never seen that. And I think it's going to get broken off, but just trying to spitball some kind of a creative solution.
Well, there is something we could try, but it would be an interesting solution for sure. They do have those like string of lights that you can get that are LEDs. that you could, but you'd have to have some sort of battery or something that
Right.
it could plug into, and then you could literally string it underneath the like the first ledge of the mailbox, so it would shine down from there. But again, you've got to have a power source of some sort.
Right. We're gonna have to think about that one.
Well, I mean, those are also low voltage. It's possible that a small storage device and a small solar panel. I mean, I've got cameras outside my house that are run on a solar panel.
Yeah, but that's the problem. There's the trees cover the mailbox, so it doesn't get any sun.
Well, with the small amount of power that takes, it may be enough to charge that. I don't know. Have to look into it.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they have them out there. The problem I see with something like that is anything that's within reach
Yeah,
is
gets
either going to
broken.
get vandalized or stolen.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Unfortunately,
We'll have to
I'm not
think
saying
about
that will
that.
happen, it's just a possibility.
It's something we'll have to think about a little bit more, see if we can come up with another creative solution. Although Lee's idea was a interesting solution, it's just not going to work.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I don't think we're going to be able to do it. The only other possibility I see would be contacting the city of Round Rock and or whoever runs the city's street lights and see if they could put a small street light connected to the city power.
It's
Well,
doubtful, but it's a
yeah, I mean,
possibility.
it wouldn't hurt to ask.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea.
We could ask. They would probably want some sort of meter so that they'd charge us for the electricity, because
That's
electricity ain't
entirely
free.
possible, yeah. But if it's only on at night, that'll help. Well, just spitballing another idea.
No,
Right.
that's a good idea. I
I
love
like
the out
that
of the
one.
box ideas.
Yeah, I
All
think
right.
that
Well,
one
thank you.
we
Appreciate
should run
it.
that one up the flagpole and see if that one flies.
So, does anyone have any other ideas for the mailbox lighting over at Bradford Park Drive near Andres Way?
No.
Yeah, I don't either. All right, well, we'll move on. There was a question, I think Dee Dee put it in there, about erecting a shed. And let's see if I did this right. Article 2, let's see if I'm in Article 2 here. Goodness, I don't think I'm in Article 2.
What was the question about erecting the shed? Have you just got to.
Yeah, it was about erecting a shed, and basically ACC has like express authority. That was the whole point right
Yeah, you
here.
just have to submit an
Yeah,
approval and.
ACC has express authority, and you know, they can construe and interpret any covenant that's vague, indefinite, uncertain, or capable of more than one construction or interpretation. They have a lot of authority. So that was what I was going for there.
Somewhere in
And
there, though, you're right, Keith. I'm not sure exactly where it's at, and I don't have it memorized. Somewhere in there, it gave a height, like, oh,
yeah,
it's supposed to be this or what, and I
I
can't
think
remember exactly
it's
what it
8 feet.
is.
I forget which.
No,
Eight
it wasn't
maybe.
8 feet. It was less than 8 feet. I think it was something like no higher than the fences or something like that. It was like 5 or 6 feet, and it's like that's not going to do you a whole heck of
Oh, I
lot,
don't remember
with
it
a
being that
pre-made.
low, but yeah, regardless, everything that I saw in there, they had a caveat listed that said, unless you get permission from the ACC. So I've just kind of not even, you know what, submit it. We get submissions, and if it looks good and it's professional, whatever, we're going to approve it. So, I mean, unless it's just some monstrosity, or, you know what I mean? We're all pretty, if it's gonna make the property look better and it's what you need. We're all
Yeah, I think there
pretty
was something in there about not being visible above the 6 foot forward privacy fence portion of the lot.
well, they're
Or
if
if it was, it had to be something that looked like it belonged with the fencing as well. So I don't remember the exact wording.
Yeah, the fencing and the home itself.
Yeah, I think that Jamie's right though. ACC is the final authority in all of that. So you can put it in there, and they can give you a variance too. They can give you a variance. And so, you know, if you have an 8-foot shed and you get the paperwork and it's approved and someone makes a complaint, you can just say, hey, I got approval from ACC. See, and there's literally nothing anyone else can do about it. So that's how that works.
If someone puts something right up by the fence and everything, I can see how it kind of needs to flow with the house. But from what I understood from when I read them, it's like if you can't see it from the street or whatever, I don't think anybody's going to complain. But there, I know the city has an ordinance, though, I think, and setback lines where you're not supposed to put anything within a certain amount of feet from your property line. I can't remember what that is.
I think it's usually 7 feet.
Yeah, 5 or 7 feet.
I think they reduced it now to 5.
Yeah.
I think. But I don't know. It's not like they come out and check. So, I mean, I think I've seen some sheds that were like 3 feet away or something from the fence. But the only thing I would say be careful about when you submit something is if it's going to be a shed and it's going to be right up by the front fence to where it's visible. Then you'd want it the same color as your house, and you know, but if it's got that, and then I could just say submit it, and then ACC will look at it.
Okie doke, thank you,
Jamie. Can I ask you if you would please? We've got a lot going on right now. We head out Monday for Florida, we'll be gone for the majority of October.
Wow,
if you could send me a copy of the forms that I need to fill out. You should have my email from the newsletter stuff.
Yeah, I got your email. And I believe there is also a copy of them on that BPHOA. But I have a copy on my, you talking about the ACC request form?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sure. I'll email that to you. Didn't you already submit something that we approved?
I sent a letter saying this is what I want to do, this is what it'll be, but I didn't have the actual ACC forms.
Oh, okay. I'm going to write that down. I'll make sure I get it to you.
You can also submit that via Town Square. If you've got a Town Square login, it's real simple.
I
do, but
right now everything is kind of
okay. All right.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Appreciate
Is there any questions on the placing or erecting a shed on a property? Going once, going twice. I guess not. I'm going to move on. There was another one. I think Alan Stock was on here last time, and he was talking about the number of vehicles at a residence. Article 1, see if I think I've got it here. Talks about what's considered a single family, and it literally defines it in here. I can't see it completely right now, but it says something to the effect of, and there it goes again. See if I can get that going here a little bit. It says that where is it? Lost my place. But basically, single family by members who are related to each other by blood, adoption, or marriage, or residential occupancy by not more than 2 unrelated adult persons and their children living together as a single housekeeping unit together with any bona fide household servants. Which I'm like, okay, household servants, sure. And then Article 16 goes into what vehicles are permitted on
Wait
the street.
A minute. Can you go back to where you were? Because it said something about not more than 4 vehicles.
Yep, right there.
Where?
Third sentence from the top.
Every residence constructed shall have an enclosed garage for not more than 4 vehicles. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't see that.
I just saw four vehicles as you went by. And I didn't right. There is a sentence.
And then Article 16 that talks about different vehicles and equipment. They're not talk. They don't say anything about like cars parked on the street. It says like trucks, campers, motorhomes, mobile homes, boats, trailers, machinery, equipment. All of that can't be parked on the street. And then it goes on from there. But those are the two articles that pertain to vehicles. And as near as I can tell, there is no limit to the number of vehicles that can be parked on the street that I've found so far. But it does say down here, let's see, where is it? Nor shall such vehicles be kept or operated in such a way as to constitute a nuisance or danger. So if we declared to them a nuisance, then we could say, hey, you gotta do something with these cars.
They have to be registered. They have to have no flat tires. They mm-hmm. can't be on jacks. So if we need to take action, there's a way to take action. But the underlying problem is we don't own the streets.
Yeah.
And so that makes it difficult.
Correct.
That curve on Donnell right down the street from my house is downright dangerous.
Yes. I agree.
And sometimes that's a 311 call. Fire trucks have to be able to get through, school buses.
I hadn't thought of that. That's an excellent idea. But this is over on Vincent Court, literally right in back of me. There's apparently and it's been complained about before by another homeowner that there's a property over there that has something like 6 or 8 cars, and they're taking up the entire driveway and a good part of the street.
Is that little cul-de-sac right there, right off High Country?
No, it's right in back of me. I'm on Andres Way. It's right in back of me. It's been Vincent Court.
I don't even know that. It's been here 25 years. I don't know the names of the streets yet.
Believe me, I've walked them enough. I know them.
That's a good one. And just to tell you, Dee Dee, I just emailed you that request form, but I think I sent it to Lee.
Dee Dee, are you there?
Thanks, we appreciate it.
Yeah, she's on the phone. Okay.
So that's it for the vehicles. Like I said, I think if we declared them a nuisance because of how many they are, then we could do something about it. Or if there's something wrong with the vehicle, no sticker, it's blocking the sidewalk, something like that, then we can call the city and they'll take care of that. So, moving on, NNO planning update. I think we've got everything in place for NNO. Dee Dee, can I still borrow your tables?
Yes, I was going to ask you, when did you want me to bring them over? Because we head out of here bright and early Monday morning.
I'm not going to be here tomorrow morning, but I'll probably be here tomorrow afternoon. And then pretty much any time from there. If I'm not here, my sweet wife is here. So one of us will be here to receive them.
I've got one if you need it also.
Say again, Paul?
I've got one also if you need it.
Perfect. Thank you. I'm not going to turn down a table. But yeah, that would
bring them over on Friday morning.
That'd be perfect. That'd be perfect.
Okay, great.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You betcha.
So that'll help because then I can set up a place for the food to sit. And also, I know the Moonwalk Round Rock, I think they've got a table. And so we'll put the popcorn and the cotton candy there. There's going to be a bouncy house, generator. We've already got the food squared away. Joe got me the tickets. I got tickets here for the raffle. I've already got the raffle all ready to go. I just got to print out the sign-in sheet, and I think we've got it. I think that's everything. I've already contacted the city. They know that we're having 3-0 or 2-0, whatever it is. So I think we've got it all squared away. So we'll see. And I've got it on bphoa.info. Let's see if I can pull that up real quick. Go up. Yep, right there. National Night Out. Come celebrate. And if someone clicks on the here, it actually brings up the logos of those who are there. These are actually clickable. You could actually go to Smoky Moe's or Moonwalk Round Rock from there. So, but yeah, that's.
I didn't know, because didn't it used to be National Neighborhood Night Out?
Yeah, it used to be that, but I think they changed it. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. So let's see. Moving on to new business. Vincent Falcon's position, we declared it vacant by the board. And the reason is that he's missed 3 board meetings in a row. And according to our bylaws, Paul and I can do that. And so we did. He also missed the annual meeting. I haven't heard from Vince since November 9th of last year. So I don't know what's going on with him or anything. So we declared his position vacant. And Texas law and our bylaws both allow Paul and I to appoint someone to the board, whomever we want for the balance of Vince's term. So we haven't actually talked about that recently. I've been talking to Jamie to see if he wanted to do it. Jamie wants to stay on the ACC, which, believe me, I'd like him to stay there too. They did change the law here in Texas where someone who's on the board can also serve on ACC, but I need to find out what the particulars are with that before we vote on that. So, and I haven't had a chance to do that yet.
Yeah, because that was one of the reasons, because the last board, they were doing that, and then we found out that you weren't supposed to. I didn't realize they changed the law back the other way.
Yeah, we just got notice of it about a month or so ago, and I need to contact the attorney and find out what the particulars are with that before we move forward. But yeah,
so I wouldn't want to do anything that was a conflict of any kind. But just to go back to what you were saying about Vincent, he's been on my email list that I email out to the neighborhood, because he asked me to add him back on back when he was around. And this last email that I sent out to the neighborhood, whoever's on my list, his came back as invalid. So either he blocked it or that email address is no longer valid. So I think that he's willingly not wanting to participate. So.
That may be.
It's also possible he just had a single agenda, and once that was done, he was finished. As far as he was concerned.
Well, and again, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he used the word sue an awful lot. And at the time, Molly and I were like, no, we're not doing that. So, because I talked to the HOA attorney about that, and he told me that, suing someone is a long, arduous process, and it's time consuming and very expensive. And I said, well, how expensive? And one of the things that Vince wanted to do was sue Connect Community Management for all of our documents that they never turned that over. We worked around not having all our documents last year. And so I asked him how much would that cost. And he said between $3,000 and $20,000. And Molly and I said, that's crazy. We're not spending that kind of money of the HOA's money just to get those documents. So And Vince wanted to sue immediately. It was like his first, that was his go-to position. So,
yeah, once that went out the window, then I think he was stuck or something.
He had an agenda. That's all he wanted.
No, I'm not sure, you know, what he wanted, but apparently he didn't get it or didn't, you know, we blocked him or something. So he didn't show up for last year's NNO either. He wasn't there either. And people noticed. So
yep.
I actually had one person come up and apologize to me that they voted for Vince. I'm like, hey, you know, you vote for who you want to vote. But that's just kind of the way it went. I mean, I haven't contacted Vince. I told him I'd only talk to him through email, and I sent him everything up until we declared his position vacant. Once his position was declared vacant, then I stopped sending him stuff. So,
are we still in?
And I think that was right after the last board meeting, if I recall. So, anyway, just want to let you all know what's going on with that. It's also in the newsletter, by the way. If you haven't read the newsletter, it's in there. So now let's see, 2024 budget and dues assessment rate. I've got another computer over here. Joe, you said you just sent this around a little bit ago, and I've got it up on this machine over here. I don't see anything really glaring that's bad. Joe, Paul, do you see anything that's would need to be changed?
Well, no, but then I'm not the greatest at reading budget sheets anyways.
Okay. No, I mean, there's like $600 a month for landscaping, and generally we don't spend that much. But sometimes, other things cost a little more. For instance, and I'm going to mention it here a little bit, there's going to be an increase on the newsletter circulation, and I'll explain that in a minute. But I think that would kind of one would offset the other. And I spoke with Joe briefly before everyone got on and asked Joe, did he think we need to raise our dues? Joe, you said no, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So I think that this budget's not bad.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. You still have on the yard of the month money, because we just use that for holiday decoration winners.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, just leave that on there, because we'll be giving out some awards for Halloween and Christmas again this year.
It's $318. Looks like four times a year.
That's for social events, and then yard of the month I left blank.
Usually so there's $600, because we used to give out $50 a month.
Okay.
Which works out to about $600. And then I think last year we spent maybe four of that, but between Halloween and Christmas. But I think we'll probably give out four winners for each holiday. Since we have it, you know, we might as well give it back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as long as you have it on there.
I added $50 a month for yard of the month. I'm keeping $318 every quarter for social events. I need to update the newsletter expense. Do you want me to change that to?
Well, I've got an update from what I have on here now.
Okay. Is there a reason we're doing a printed newsletter?
Neighborhood News is who we go through, and they do the newsletter for free, but they have advertising. And so they send it out via mail, and so that they can get the advertising in someone's hand. So that's why they do that.
No, but we pay something, don't we? We pay the postage.
We pay postage and a nickel per newsletter for handling.
I think I know what Paul's getting at. By email.
There was only a few people. There was several people that asked about the physical newsletter at one point, mm-hmm. A few years ago, and wanting to bring it back. And Molly was a proponent of that as well. So I wasn't, because I think everything's digital nowadays.
Yeah.
But whatever the community wants, I don't care.
I mean, that's $1,500 a year we're spending on that.
It's going to be a little more than that.
That's more than what I was thinking. That seems, yeah.
Well, if you're $258 every 2 months is what? 15, a little over that.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit more than that, actually.
Let's pull the people that show up for NNO. And then I can also send an email out to the list I have and just pull the people to see, you know, if they're all going, if the majority of them are going in the trash. I mean, I still look at it because it comes in the mail, but I would look at it if I got it in an email as well. So, you know, I certainly don't want to not someone not to get it if they want it. But so I don't know what, however y'all feel like we should go about that.
Well,
I have a question regarding those newsletters. Do they go out strictly to homeowners, or do they go out to just the local addresses?
Well, and that's what I was going to update everyone on. Originally, when we decided to do this, we were going to send it out to all the homeowners and all the people who live here, so the renters as well. I've looked at the most current, let's see if I can pull it up real quick. BPHOA.info is kind of good with that. The newsletters right here, September, October, that's the most recent. Shoot, that's not what I wanted. I wanted the invoices and neighborhood news. So let me go to that and let me go down all the way to the end. I try to keep this updated too. So this is what was billed for this last newsletter that just went out. It was $209.89. But here's the thing I wanted to kind of let you guys know. If you see the quantity, it says 278. They only sent it to the people who are in Bradford Park. If you're an owner and you don't live here, you didn't get it. So if you take a look on the last newsletter, the postage rate went from 65.3 cents to 70.5 cents. So postage has gone up, which is why part of the reason the cost has gone up. Originally, when we were doing this, we were going to send it not just to the people who are in Bradford Park who live here, but also to the offsite owners. There's 79 of those. And to the people, the 11 people who live in Bradford Park but are not part of the HOA, just to kind of keep them updated on what's going on in the neighborhood. And so if you add those up, that would be 368. And so I went and did a little math, and it comes out to like 267, I think it is, per month, 270, something like that. And then on an annual basis, it's like $1,667 a year for the newsletter at the current 70 cents, 70.5 cents per newsletter, plus a nickel handling by Neighborhood News.
That's still not bad.
I'm saying it's not. So,
and I personally, I like being able to have something in my hand to look at.
Okay. You're a vote for.
I think it's very, very important that the homeowners that don't live here be informed of all those happenings here as well.
I agree. I call it increasing our circulation and our reach.
Well, especially if you put information in there about board members or changes, then offsite owners would need to know, especially if there's going to be rule changes down the road. Or,
well, I've had
two still paying dues.
Two articles and two different newsletters about changes to the collection policy. And the offsite owners never got it because they weren't on the list. Now, I will tell you that I sent Neighborhood News the changed mailing list, and it's 368 records. So all of them will get it the next newsletter we send out. All of the offsite owners and the 11 homeowners in Bradford Park that are not part of the HOA, as well as all of us.
Don't get pushy. I said, go lay down.
That's cool.
Go lay down.
So I wanted to let you all know that. Do you all have any heartburn about it, Paul?
No, I just a personal preference. I'm more likely to read electronic copy than I am the paper one, but
it's well, just a personal preference. It is. I do get a proof from Ariel, and where is it? It's actually it's literally right here on bphoa.info. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing as the printed copy, but it's all right here. So if anyone wanted to look at it online, they could. So
curb painting. I should look into that.
Well, yeah. We're going to talk about that in a little bit too.
I keep missing it.
Well, you don't have to miss it. We can square that away. So anyone have any more, want to know any more about the newsletter circulation increase and the increased costs or anything?
Nope.
No, thank you.
Okay. I'll move on to garage sale signs. This is where Paul is probably going to want to take my head off.
I read your note.
I say what?
I said, I already read your note.
I know. We needed new garage sale signs. And one of the things about these signs is that the legs where you put them into the ground usually are so wobbly you can't get them into the ground, especially if it hasn't rained for a while. So I wanted something that was really sturdy that I could literally pound into the ground and the legs aren't going to go bending at a 90 degree angle or something. And I wanted some really good signs that are unique enough that people aren't going to want to steal them. So having said that, I had asked for four signs, one at every entrance, that has a blue background with white lettering. And I asked them to cut the sign in the form of an arrow and print it on both sides so that it's pointing, which, you know, into the subdivision. That cost us, well, it cost me on my credit card, almost $500.
I can believe it.
So, yeah, I'm like, when I got that number, I'm like, oh, Paul's going to have my head.
No, I just went, my next door neighbor works at a welding shop. He does stuff for me all the time. I was like, well, we should have talked to him. I didn't even think about it.
Well, we may need some new signs for the regular signs we have. The other thing I bought that was part of that was the signs we have now that are out at the four corners now. I got new legs that are actually very sturdy because the ones I had, they would wobble and break. And I mean, they were like soldered together or something. And you put them in there, the wind would break them. The signs would blow away. And I'm like, you know what? I had enough of that. Four of those cost almost $20, well, over $20. And that's just the legs. So I wanted to let y'all know it's the total between the new signs and the legs was almost $500.
Well.
So, and I'm sorry, but the good thing is that those signs should last a while. It should be something that someone wouldn't want to steal because it says Bradford Park Neighborhood Garage Sale instead of just garage sale. Because if you have just a garage sale sign, someone's going to take that and they're going to put it in your yard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this is Bradford Park Neighborhood Garage Sale. Don't think people are going to want to steal that. It's kind of unique. So
hopefully not.
Yeah. The only other thing I could think of is to put like some kind of like Apple AirPod thing on it or something to track the damn thing. But yeah, that's the only thing I could think of.
Mm-mm. They just ripped those off.
Yeah, that's another thing. So, but that's they're I just approved the proofs yesterday. So I told them I needed them by, I forget, I think it was like October 20th or something. And they said, no problem. We can get those to you before then. So I should probably have them next week, but I've sent in the receipt to Joe to get reimbursed. Cause my sweet wife said, $500, you better be getting reimbursed for that. Like, well, I'll send it
reimbursed.
In. Say again.
I'll get you reimbursed.
Okay. So anyway, those are what's coming. And like I said, we may need new signs. The signs that we have now are new, but what happened, and they're supposed to have some kind of dry erase property to them. But when you try to erase the stuff there with a, you know, just like a little bit of alcohol or whatever, it doesn't come off, even though I'm using a dry erase marker. And so what I've had to use before is this stuff called Goof Off, and it takes away whatever coating you had on it as well, which ruins the sign. And you can only use it for a certain number of times before you have to buy new signs. So that's something we may be looking at in the near future is getting new signs, because the ones we have are not all that good. So they have lasted for 2 years. So there is that. Anyone want to know any more about the expensive garage sale signs?
Mm-mm.
Okay. And driveway apron house number painting. We have been getting a bunch of people asking to have their house number painted on their driveway apron. And I put it in the newsletter we got yours, by the way, Dee Dee and Lee, we got yours.
Thank you.
But it's basically creating a list for us. And when it cools off, it'll be done sometime next month. But we've been waiting for it to cool off so that we can go out there and do it.
We get more people, because last time I think we did about 7 or 8 houses. And then after we did it, then we got more requests. So, but now just since the last email blast and that went out, we've had like 5 or 6 other people. So as soon as we get an email to that email you put in the newsletter, I put it in that folder in the email, in the Gmail, that says curb painting to be done. So there's a list in there of everyone that's emailed and asked for it. Now there's probably 12 to 15 people that have asked for it. So,
right.
When do you expect to actually start that, sir?
Oh, in a week or two, probably. Sometime in October,
we can
get it done
pretty
soon.
It'll be done before the end of October.
We'll be back around the 21st, 22nd. I'd be willing to help you, sir, if you would like some help.
All right. Yeah, just shoot me a text when you get back or something, or an email. I was just going to, you know, me and my son were just going to go around and do it at some point. But he's getting to that big teenager stage now, so if I can pull him away from the video game. No.
And here's the stencils that we bought. I've got those right here. I think they're made of plastic, so.
Yeah, they are, but they should be good for a little while. We'll just have to get paint.
Yeah, we get that from the city, and we get that for free. So, and it's funny because there's been a couple of people who said, well, how much is the cost of this? And we're like, no, it's free.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't realize that the city offers that service to all the neighborhoods.
Yeah, actually, there's on bphoa.info, go up here. There's a whole thing about this right here called Love the Rock, which they're looking for volunteers. It's going to be on October 14th, and they're doing yard maintenance, debris removal, curb painting, pressure washing, and for someone to have, you know, that needs help, then, you know, needs any of this stuff done, they have to submit a you know, like a form, and they can do it online by October 1st, and I get put where the link is. It says sign up link is here, so people can go there and also, if they want more information on it, they can click up here and they can find out more about it. But yeah, that's they asked me to put this on bphoa.info, so I did. So But they're doing it, we're doing it too, so.
Very good.
And I'm going to go backtrack just for a second, guys, because we didn't really say anything. For the budget and the dues assessment rate, Paul, are you good with keeping the assessment at 170 for next year?
It seems the budget is fine, so I don't see any problem with it.
I don't either. So let's make it official. I make a motion that we keep the assessment rate for 2024 at $170. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Paul seconds. I will poll the board. Paul, how do you vote?
Yes.
I vote yes as well. The motion carries. The assessment rate for next year will remain at $170 per year. And also, Joe, for the budget, you were saying that you were making a couple of changes. Can you make those changes, get it to us via email, and then we'll approve it via email?
Yeah, that'd be fine. Then we'll ratify it at the next open board meeting in 2 months. I want to go over some numbers real quick. So I changed the newsletter to 210 every other month. So that's a total of 1260 for the year. I'm keeping social events 318 per quarter. So that's 1272 a year. I added yard of the month, $50 a month. So that's 600 for the year. And then I did not put anything in about signs, but we have a miscellaneous general expense. So I can change that to signs for the sign expense if you think we'll have a sign expense next year. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing, I didn't put anything in about Zoom fees that I'll reimburse you for. I think it's probably $129 a year. And so I can add all those things if you think that will be an expense in 2024.
Yeah, darn it. Hang on just a second.
And we can do this by email. We don't have to do it right now. Those are minor items. And we still have $6,000 not allocated to anything.
How much did you put in for the newsletter?
Newsletter I put in, and I can bring this on up on the screen if you guys want me to. Keith, if you make me a co-host.
I already did that. I just got to stop sharing.
Okay.
All right. How do I stop sharing? Stop share. Okay.
All right. So let me see if I can share my screen. Okay, so in a few seconds, you should be able to see the 2024 operating budget.
Mm-hmm.
And the area we're talking about, I can change. If we think we're going to buy signs in 2024 as well, I can put that in general expense, or we can just leave that blank. And then here's where I did the newsletter, 210 every other month, social events, 318 per quarter, and yard of the month, $50 per month.
Well, I just did a calculation on what the newsletter should be based on the increase in postage. And according to my calculation, it should be $277.84 every other month.
So I'm going to round that off to $278. And then I'll copy that. So 1668.
It's about right.
And so we'll have you guys approve this by email. You can still make changes, but the gist of it is there'll be no dues increase. It will remain $170 a year times 278 homeowners. And so we'll have $47,260. Mm-hmm. And we're only spending $41,318. So we still have an overage, or not an overage, but an excess of $6,000. And also we're transferring 6,000 to reserves. And so if we don't spend the money, it just rolls over to the next year.
I was going to say, doesn't it, is that 6,000 going to cause a deficit there?
No. So I'm calling the transfer to reserves an expense, so it's already been included in this $41,000.
Okay.
I just put it here because it's easy to see. Okay. So we're transferring to reserve $6,000 for the year. We still have $6,000 left over.
Okay.
So anyway, we'll do that by email and you can approve it by email.
Yeah, I was doing a little calculation trying to decipher the Article 18, you know, maximum assessment rate kind of stuff based on the things that it, you know, says you're supposed to do. And I came up with two different calculations because there's two different ways you can do it. And both of them, it would say the maximum assessment rate for this year would be like $1,762, something like that.
Okay.
And I'm like, yikes. We're a long way from that.
Yeah. Anyway, that's everything I had.
All right, let me share my screen again. Can you all see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think we've gone through the new business.
You missed one about Zoom removal.
Oh, you're right. I did. We were talking via email, Paul and I, and Paul had suggested using Google for these Zoom meetings. And we haven't really tested that. And so we were looking at also using the Zoom account for Goodwin. And we had a couple of concerns, Paul and I both. And we've decided, I think, to go with Zoom for another year. Am I correct in that?
Well, my concern was sharing the Zoom account. I don't know about, I mean, I use Google at work. I find it much easier to use than Zoom, but, you know, that's...
Can you record stuff with it?
You can.
Okay.
You can also, you can not only record, but also create a transcript as you're recording.
Oh, wow. Leave it to Google. do you want to go with Google or you want to go with Zoom?
We have to look into it because I'm not sure whether that feature is a pay feature and how much they cost.
Okay. Could you look into that and let us know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So we'll still look into that. Tentatively, we discounted using the Zoom account for Goodwin because we record all of these. And we'd have to have access to the recordings, which would give us access to all the recordings.
Right.
And we don't want to be getting the recordings from another HOA.
Right.
So, okay. That's on your to-do list for next time, Paul.
I'll have plenty of time while I'm sitting around doing nothing.
So now we're down to homeowner concerns. Anyone have any issues that they'd like to discuss?
I don't have an issue, but I do have a question that I wasn't able to ask. I've been meaning to text you about. Where did we wind up with the city? You were going back and forth with them being responsible for those trees, and they were, you know, the attorney said, oh, eventually you need to get them to, the attorney was kind of saying exactly what we were thinking about. There's no deed recorded that we own that common property. So I know you were having a conversation with someone from the city. I'm just not sure where that left off.
Joe, have you heard anything about that?
I have not heard anything about that. No.
Okay. So the last I had heard was, and it was kind of comical, they came out and put a piece of paper, and they either stapled or nailed it to one of the trees on High Country, which I thought was hysterical. Because I told the lady, and she's a really nice lady, Margie at the city, that we don't own that area. It's owned by the city of Round Rock. And so she told me that, you know, no, Bradford Park, you've always taken care of that. I said, yeah, but no one looked into who owned it. Y'all own it. I said, what if we don't do anything? She goes, well, we'll put a lien on it. I said, well, the city would be leaning on their own property. And so she didn't say anything with that. And so I got a message from her not to do anything until I hear from her at a later date. She never contacted me again. And those got taken care of.
And so, lo and behold, the trees are cut.
So the trees got cut by the city.
Oh, they did. Okay. I thought you were going to have our landscape people do it just because. They did come out and do it. That's great.
They came out and did it. And what we did is we asked the landscaper how much it would cost just in case we had to have it done.
Right. Okay. All right.
But we didn't actually get it done because the city came out and did it.
Yeah. So the next step now is the grass out there that they cut on the other side.
That's the next thing, is to see if we can push that. I don't know if we'll get that. Now, they were talking about having me sign, because I'm board president, they were talking about having me sign a license agreement. And I took that to sent that to Joe and Paul and our attorney. And the attorney said, you don't want to sign anything because then we'll be responsible for it forever. And so I told Margie, look, you know, you can send me a license agreement, but I'm going to run it past our attorney before I sign anything. And
yeah, she probably wants you to sign that so that you'd be saying that you're going to be responsible for it from now on. I think they probably know they should be responsible for that. And now that they've done the trees, they kind of set a precedent for themselves.
Yeah, I think so too. But I mean, it's their property and we've been maintaining it over all these years because no one looked into it. So now that I've looked into it, they own it. I think they should take care of it. I could send them a letter through Joe and see what happens.
Oh, yeah, or through the attorney.
That would be even better, through the attorney.
That landscape money then could go back into the owner's association for other things.
Yeah, like new signs.
Extra events or something, or you know,
right?
Hey, and since they actually do own it, we could maybe go back in records,
back billing,
and back bill them for the maintenance that we've done to their property for years.
I don't know if they'd let us do that, but I think that I'd call it a win.
But that's interesting. Interestingly,
I mean, you're talking 26 years of records.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't think we've got all the records for 26 years, to be fair.
Yeah, no, you know that, for however long the previous board had it.
Couldn't get anything out of the previous management company.
Oh man. Those $20,000 for that in 2020?
Yeah, for them, $5,000 for them trimming the trees. So.
Yeah.
Sounds anyway, like we got teeth excited there.
Well, it's not excited, but it'd be interesting if we pulled that off. That would be something. I don't think the city would like us very much, but you know,
from my
perspective,
I don't know if that's a hole we want to jump in.
Well, that's just it. You know, how many enemies are we wanting to make, right?
I'd be glad if they just took it over.
From my
perspective, I'd say mention it to the lawyers and see what they say.
He'd probably say you're grasping it at wisps, but sure.
Yeah.
From my perspective, if we could get the city to take over that area and just keep our landscaper for like forced mows, which we don't have a whole lot of those, then that would be a win. But yeah.
Yep.
That'd be a big win.
It would play into my wheelhouse big time, put it that way.
Let's pursue that.
We might not want to push it, but it sure is fun to think about.
I like the thought. That was really interesting. I would not have thought of getting the back pay for that. That's hilarious, but I wouldn't want to do that. But that is interesting thought.
Which, you know, I wanted to see if I got pull this up real quick. Where was it? Invoices, JLS. This is what we pay right now for maintaining that area. And it went to 425 earlier this year. But I mean, these are the bills that we've been paying for JLS. Now, if you contrast this with what we were paying in 2021 for Lansis Inc. Okay. This is what we're paying on a monthly basis for Lansis Inc. $1,149.21 and JLS $400. So yeah. we've cut the landscaping budget by like
two thirds
at least. Yeah. And that's just that. That doesn't include what we cut when we went to Goodwin. We actually cut our the amount we put out every month to Goodwin. That's another one I was looking over it the other day. If you look at Goodwin, let's go over here first and look at Connect Community Management. Some of these bills are just unbelievable. I mean, $4,130.44. And then you go over and look at Goodwin, which we went to in 2022, and it's like orders of magnitude less. I mean, $927 plus $98.12 or $133.12. So, I mean, it's orders of magnitude less.
Well, yes, we reverted back to dues that we had years ago. And you still have reserve money going into reserves and money left over when the last management company was trying to, remember, they were raising the dues on us and saying, oh, we're not.
They were wanting another increase. That's right.
Like, why are you increasing it when
their deep pockets weren't full enough?
Yeah.
I didn't say it. You did.
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
I think I got caught making that same comment recently.
You did.
Uh-oh.
I'm up for election in January, and I think I'm going to use that as one of the things I've done for the neighborhood is as part of the team, you know, cut these costs. So,
yeah,
maybe people will want to keep me around for a while.
Yeah,
I believe so, sir.
Hey, I know so. The mailbox lights were huge. I love those things. That was a great, great thing to accomplish.
That was Joe and Paul and I and Molly and at one point a little bit of Vince. So yeah, that was a team effort for sure. Is there anything else anyone has?
No.
Paul, do you have anything?
Nope.
Jamie, do you have anything?
Nope.
Joe, do you have anything?
I do not.
I don't have anything either. So I guess we're going to go into executive session. And if you're not a board member, I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave the call.
See you guys later. Bye.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Can you tell if everyone's gone? Because I can't tell.
I'm trying to leave. It won't let me. Hold on. Oh, there.
All right.
All right. Let me stop. See if I can stop the recording here.